GOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Dr. Paul Esposito. I am a senior pastor of Island Community Church here on 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. And just want to say good morning. Good afternoon. Maybe it's 5:30 in the afternoon. You are tuned into WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thanks for joining us here today. This is the radio ministry of Island Community Church. And speaking of Island, we invite you to come out to one of our services. Just gave you the address, 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet Wednesdays at 6 for Bible study, and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Sunday school starts at 9:30 to 10:15. For more info on the ministry, I encourage you and invite you to go visit the website. That's islandcommunitychurch.net. And there's some 10 years, 15 years of prior sermons uploaded on there. When you find the right page, it says a prior broadcast. Our statement of faith is on there and what's going on at the church. Thanks for taking 30 minutes to join us here today. You're going to hear now something I preached recently, about a month ago or so. And that is the book of Ephesians. We just wrapped it up. So today's sermon is called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. We'll let this opening play here Monday and Tuesday. We'll be back again Wednesday with my sermon from last Sunday on Moses. And I'll be inviting you to midweek Bible study here coming on Wednesday. But here it is, Monday and Tuesday. Let's get into the Word now. The Apostle Paul preaching, teaching us out of Ephesians chapter 2 and what he called the unsearchable riches of Christ.
The Bible says that because of Jesus and what he has done, praise God, you are no longer a stranger and a foreigner. Remember what we've learned. It says through him, you see, that's the door. Through him, we have access by one spirit to the Father. That's right here, Ephesians 2:18 or Romans 5:2. It says through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus himself said in John 10:9, I am the door. You see, no longer is what I'm trying to say to you, is you don't have to peer in like this. From now on, Jesus says, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Simple as that. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I am the door. And the Apostle Paul, again, is here saying, Jesus is the one who has made all of this possible. All to him I owe. Some people try to jump and hop over the fence. But you see, you got to go in through the door, because when you go in through the door, he gives you these special clothes and he gives you a new name written on a white stone that no one knows but you and him. We read about all these techies, right? All these nerdy guys, right, Cameron? These guys that can crack all this code and steal your Bitcoin and everything. You're not stealing your Bitcoin here. You might jump over the fence because you think you've outwitted someone, but you're still going to have the clothes that he hands out. You still got to go through this door. You still got to have the white stone with your new name written on it that no one knows but you and him. No matter how slick you are. All right, one last thing. And no, not one last thing before we go home. Kidding me? Look at what's going on the inside of you. Look again at verse 22. In whom you... Notice it doesn't say that you were, if you got a good Bible, or it doesn't say that you will be. This is a present active participle in Greek, a word with ing on the end of it, like sleeping, rowing, eating, drinking, living, exercising, hiking. Here it's in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, you are under construction. He's not done. Just like Paul said, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. For you, it's either the day you leave this world or the day he cracks these guys and comes back. You are a work in progress. So, God's rung your doorbell, and guess what? He's moving in with you. He doesn't want much. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your food. There's only one thing God wants from you. Guess what that is? It's like the old Uncle Sam poster, right? I want you. That's all he wants. He just wants you. This is why you hate the things now, all the evil in the world, things maybe you used to like and now you hate. Because God's taken up residence on the inside of you. This is another part of this mystery here. All right, now let's move on to chapter 3. Let's turn the fan on. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, big word, but not really a dispenser. When I was a kid, I used to have this thing with candy in it. Remember what that was? All right, old church knows it. Doink! It was a Pez dispenser. You got one of those, Amanda? Or two, one for each kid. A Pez dispenser. See, Paul, and you're a dispenser of God's grace wherever you go. You have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, that's him, for you guys. How that by revelation he made known to me this mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which, this is verse 4, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. That means Jeremiah didn't know it, Ezekiel didn't know it, Peter didn't know it, John didn't know it. None of these guys knew it. This was a special revelation. So again, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. All right, two things. Number one, Paul is saying here, very important, that he was not taught this stuff. All of this stuff, everything we look at, he was not taught this by a man. He received it as a revelation from Jesus Christ. So let's go back a little bit. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Let me read something to you from the book of Acts, chapter 9. Let's look at Paul's life before this happened. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then Saul, this was his Hebrew name, Saul. Then Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and he asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. All right. This was who this guy used to be, the Apostle Paul. He was a very bad man, and he hated Christians with a passion. His whole life was going door to door, dragging out Christians, seeing that they were put to death, or at least delivered over to the authorities. All right, so here he is riding on his horse one day. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly this light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, ki mi diokais. And he answered and said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, Ego eimi Iesus. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but not seeing anyone. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. All right, he's blind. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. That's the great apostle Paul, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And this, Paul said in the Galatians, he said, For I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, all this stuff that we are taught, all of this word of God that we're taught, everything that he has shares with us, do not come from a manual or a textbook or a secondhand teaching. He didn't hear it from someone and he's writing it down. All of what we know and understand in the Bible came from a direct revelation from God, from Jesus, the Son of God, to the Apostle Paul. That's how you can put your faith and trust in what you read. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. They come to us directly from the Son of God, to Paul, who wrote them down, to 2,000 years later, perfectly preserved, to you and I. Now, allow me to finish what Paul was saying there in Galatians. He said, For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church beyond measure. I tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those that were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. That's Galatians 1. So what's he saying? He's saying, I know a little. He's saying he's got firsthand knowledge by direct revelation from the Son of God of what took place behind the scenes in heaven to get us to where we are at today. Once again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Now you got some of the backdrop and history behind what he's going to say. He said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. All right, now here it comes. Spill the beans, if you will. Starts with the word that. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. All right, the great mystery here. God's got big plans going all the way back to Genesis and God calling Abraham, not just to save old Abraham, Isaac, David, and Jacob, But God had big plans to extend his salvation to non-Jews across the world. The Lord Jesus told the world just 24 years earlier than this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Unfathomable to Jews in the day, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. He can even save you. Even you. Look in the mirror. Even you. After all you've done, God can still save you. And if God can unite Jew and Gentile, then he can certainly unite you and him back together again. All right, now let's move on here to verse 8. It says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make everyone see." What is that fellowship? Or that word means participation. What is that fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Do you see what he just said there, Darren? That the wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers. That means we make it known to angels and demons. God, in his order of things, again, let me read that verse. That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. All right, now don't forget, he was in prison. Paul wrote this from jail. Don't let these prison bars discourage you, he's saying. Because Paul's prison bars can't take away from what Jesus did to unite them. God is for them. God is for you. That's all that you need. It doesn't matter if you're behind prison or not. All that matters is God is for you, and he's on your side. That's all anybody needs. Now, I don't want to sound like a cheerleader, but I am a cheerleader in an evil world, amongst other things. But let's apply the brakes here just for a minute. Let's look at this statement here that just came out of his mouth. He said, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So what are they? I don't know. That's why they're unsearchable. They're unsearchable. No concordance can list them. They're unsearchable. No dictionary. They're unsearchable. You can't look them up. No encyclopedia. They're unsearchable. What's that show we like to watch with Nicolas Cage with all the clues? National Treasure. Ben Gates can't find them because they're unsearchable. Indiana Jones can't find them. They're unsearchable. They won't even acknowledge the existence of God. Nevertheless, no one lists and understand what is unsearchable. Unsearchable. The riches of Jesus Christ are unsearchable. Things like, well, how do I know them if they're unsearchable? I'll stick me neck out. See if I'm right. Salvation. These are the riches I mean, you can inherit from your Uncle Bobby, or you can inherit from the Son of God. Who do you want to inherit from? And what do you want to inherit? Remember, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You are going to inherit God's fortune. Count me in. That's good news. Isn't it? Unsearchable riches of Christ. Salvation. Eternal life. Redeemer. Wow, check out Jesus' bank account. God even calls you friend. Think about it. Find that in any manual somewhere. Find it written down somewhere. That the eternal Almighty Jehovah calls you his friend. That's unsearchable. You can't find that in a dictionary somewhere. That is a spiritual reality of you being right with him. You're his friend. I love that image of being in the household of God. You're in his house. What happens if someone messes around with someone in your household? They're toast. Friend. Think about that this morning, church. That God, in Christ, calls you friend. You see, all the animosity, all the separation. Remember, God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. Not counting their sins against them. You and God are right now. Because of his son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross. By golly, that's good news. Happy Thanksgiving. That's good news. And that's how rich you are now. You see, in him, Paul's telling us, remember, he didn't read this in a manual. He didn't read that he's rich. He didn't read in the manual this inheritance. Jesus gave it to him. And he gives it to us. And I'm giving it to you, that in him we have obtained an inheritance. No one can tax it. No one can steal it. No one can forge your name. It's yours. Comes through receiving him. Unsearchable. Savior. Redeemer. The very Son of Jehovah. And if all that's not enough, he'll give you the opportunity to sit with him on his throne at the end of the age. If you hang in there until the end and cross the finish line in faith. Now, let me end this today with Paul's very own doxology from the end of chapter 3 of this same book. And I say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hope you have a wonderful holiday this week. This is the greatest doxology in all the Bible. Verse 20. Now unto him, and think about these words. I love these doxologies. They're not just hot air of someone that can't wait to watch the Houston Oilers game. Oh, wait, they're not even a team anymore, are they? Houston Oilers. Dante Pastorini. Yeah, I'm showing my age. These are truths. He's got more adverbs strung here than Kellogg's has got cornflakes. To him that is able to do exceedingly, catch the L-Y, tips you on that, it's an adverb. To him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, that's greater than, all that we ask, and not only that, all that you think. All the things you're too afraid to ask for because you think God will call you selfish. To him that is able, now will he or will he not, I don't know. I asked him all night to chase the demons out of my bedroom, and the answer to that was, sorry, son, suck it up. These demons ain't going nowhere. So he's able. Sometimes the answer is no. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the word dunamis, translated in English as dynamite. You guys are living dynamite in the inside of you. Exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask or think, according to the dunamis that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing they bring. And I